Good morning, good afternoon, and welcome to the Euralo board teleconference on Monday the 18th of January at 1100 UTC. On today's call we have Olivier Crépin-Leblanc, Wolf Ludwig, Jordi Iparaguirre, Uriel Antipuro, Michael Medrisch, Mathieu Camus, Sandra Hochrichter. From staff we have Sylvia Vivanco and myself, Gisela Gruber. And if I could please remind everyone to state their names when speaking for transcript purposes. Thank you very much, and over to you, Olivier.
Thank you very much, Gisela. Olivier Crépin-Leblanc speaking. And today, first I'd like to thank you all for coming on this call. We have an agenda where we have to review our goals for 2016 as the Euralo board, and then defining our priorities and our plan of action, perhaps assigning responsibilities to each one of us to push one specific topic forward. And then we also have to look, before tomorrow's Euralo call, we have to look at the special budget request for fiscal year 17. These are the requests that the RELO and the ALAC and other supportive organizations and advisory committees in ICANN make for additional funding for specific projects, and these include projects that deal with the printing of documentation, support, some of it requiring travel, etc. But in any case, we'll have to discuss this and see if we want to put anything through. One thing I might receive, due to some emergency here, I might receive a call in the middle of this call, in which case I'll have to hand the floor to Wolf. Wolf, is that okay with you? Will you be able to take over the call in case I do get the other call coming in? I'm not hearing from
Olivier
Wolf.
Olivier Giesler here, just to say...
Yeah.
Sorry, we're just trying to get Wolf on the line, so he'll be joining us shortly. I'm hoping that he might respond to you in writing in the chat. Thank you.
Ah, he's calling in. Okay, all right. Yes. Okay, that's fine then. I see Wolf is typing, so he's probably, once he's on the call, that's fine. Well, let's get going. It seems you can't speak. No, the Adobe Connect doesn't seem to be working too well at the moment. Let's get going then, and let's first look at the board goals of 2016. And I've put the link to the Euralo board page that has all of the different links to the different points that everyone has made. And then we need to effectively put them together and say, right, which way do we want to move now? I've noticed, and let's just quickly go through them. Mikhail Medrisch was pointing towards the bylaws and having to a good review of the Euralo's articles of association. Then I set a few things forward, certainly looking out for new potential at-large structures in the places where we do not have any at-large structures. But I think that with Euralo, one of the things we really need to do is for the engagement of our ALSs, since so few of them are active as such. And we have to work out ways and perhaps put together a task force that will look at ways to deal with engagement. And with those ALSs that do not wish to engage and perhaps even review with each one of our ALSs and with them, if they are still interested in being an active Euralo at-large structure, then we've got to look at the skill sets. That was something that Irio was saying. If we can get the skill sets from the different ALSs, that will enable us to call upon our at-large structures when we have specific topics on the table. And then thirdly, linking the ALAC to our ALSs. And I thank the ALAC members that are here on the call so that we can work closer with the Euralo board, but also closer with the RELO in general and all of the at-large structures. And then Jordi also had the objective of basically looking at the actual purpose and raison d'etre in participating in the development of policies for the DNS, and seeing if our ALSs, I guess, are able to contribute in this matter. And here, Jordi was really pushing on the increasing the participation in incorporating new people in all of the activities that we have. And Mathieu also sent a note, and he was looking at the public interest document. He wanted to explore the notion itself with other members, so perhaps he's a good candidate for following up with Wolf on the public interest. And of course, the two questions that he was asking there, how do you improve the visibility of final users in ICANN, how to have more weight on the policy making? And that, of course, ties in with having more of our at-large structures engage. And Mathieu, you have your hand up, so please, you have the floor.
Yes, it's exactly, do you hear me? It's okay?
Yes, we can hear you, yep.
Yes, okay. Yes, exactly what you said, the questions are related to the engagement of ALSs and the development of ICANN policies.
Okay, that's cool. So, from what I see on the points which were put forward, I do think that we need to put together a group that will look at the ALS engagement in our region. That's a recurring tone that has come out, and I was going to propose that we put together a task force on this. Are there any thoughts on that, or? So I can see an agreement from Mathieu, and so a task force on the and Elio also. Green light. And with regards to the task force, it could probably, and I'm just throwing things out at the moment, and I do apologize, I'm less prepared than I should have been, but there you go, things happen. The idea would be that we could get in touch with our ALSs one by one, and I guess we do have about quite a number of them, but, you know, engage them each and find out ways, perhaps even when drawing the task force, it shouldn't just be board members, we should get some at-large structures involved as well, and start the work on there. I don't want to focus on what the task force will do, but there are tons of different ways to enhance the relationship with the ALS and enhance the engagement of the ALSs in the process. There are some lessons we could learn from AP Rallo and also from Naralo. They've done some work to engage their ALSs more. Maybe we can do more things during our monthly calls. There's a lot of different ways. So are there any thoughts on this? And anybody would object to a task force being created that would look at at-large structure engagement in Naralo? I don't see anyone objecting, so Jordi proposes to define precise tasks for this wide objective, and that's a very good point. So agreeing that we can create a task force, I would suggest that there are several tasks to be done. The first one, I think, is probably updating all of the contacts that we have for each one of those at-large structures. We have the luck of having had a General Assembly just a few months ago, or not that long ago, in Dublin. So we do have the names of the active contacts, and it's not going to come as something just completely out of the blue for them to have us being in touch with them. So the first thing was really engage a discussion with them and perhaps even the skill sets that they have. So I would say the first thing that the task force would do would be to put together a very small I wouldn't even think it would be a survey. I think what we can do is to have maybe the basic lines of what ICANN, the different topics are, and just ask them and say which ones are they specifically, do they have much knowledge in, or do they just want to write in what they are, they have knowledge in. I know that we've had a survey. I'm going to turn to Wolf and ask him, did we have some of this information already given to us in the survey, in the last survey?
Well, it's Wolf speaking, for the records. I do not exactly, well, we had conducted a number of surveys over the last years. And actually, I do not remember all details. So I think the last survey was for, which was launched just before the London Atlas 2, was particularly about contact details.
Yeah.
And communication tools, and not much more.
Okay, so we could go to each one of our ELSs with that. It's just a one-page survey, not even that, that will just look at their skill sets specifically. So that's one thing of the task force to do. The other thing of the task force to do, I guess, is to, once we have started on this, to talk to the ALSs and ask if they are still interested in taking part. I know that for some of them, it might have been that they've changed the representatives and they've changed direction. And I have a concern that we might have a few more dead ducks within the community, dead ducks in quotes, if you want. Ilya Lensipuro, you have your hand up. You have the floor. And Ilya, you're speaking now. Unfortunately, I'm not able to hear you.
I don't know why that's the case. It's strange.
Can you hear me now?
Now we can hear you, yes. Welcome.
Okay, yeah, all right. Thank you. So, yeah, the surveys that were done so far in the various railroads to implement the recommendation from the summit. As I recall, they were more a sort of statistical exercises. I mean, how many percent of your members are this and that, I mean, techies or whatever. And I think that now we have to get one layer or a couple of layers deeper, that is to say, to identify actual concrete people who are, or at least who believe they are, experts on those topics that you actually mentioned. I think it would be an excellent idea to have a list of various ICANN-related topics and then just ask the ALSs whether they have like expertise on them. That could be a quite concrete starting point for our work. Thank you.
Okay, thanks for this, Ilya. Next is Wolf Ludwig.
It's Wolf Ludwig again, for the records. I'm just typing in and confirming in the Adobe chat that the link Sylvia provided. It was about the professional capacities of our members, etc. And 19 of our members, to my memory, participated in the survey.
Yes, thanks for putting the link on the Adobe Connect chat. That's very helpful. And Yurio was quite correct. We have here just a statistical responses. We do have the answers, and I was going to ask Sylvia then, because the answers we have here all seem to be just statistics, but we do have access to the individual entries, don't we?
Yes, this is Sylvia. That was completed in March last year. was done through a SurveyMonkey, so I guess we could pull the data and see the individual. There is a tab there to look at the individual answers, correct?
Okay, so that, because that would be, if we could build a table which had each at-large structure on one side, in one column, then the next column would be, I guess it would be a matrix that we could have. So the next column is security, the next one is privacy, the next one is intellectual property, the next one is media, the next one is artificial intelligence and computer crime, domain names and internet governance, and other. So across the table, each column is something, and then we can put little crosses at the intersection of the column and the name of the at-large structure. And that will give us, I think, maybe a first view of what the skills are, the skill sets are across our at-large structures. How does that sound? I'll open the floor for Michael Medrash. Michael.
Yes.
Or Mikhail.
I would like to... Yes, no problem. I would like to mention that we have a website where all ILSs, the least ILSs exist, but very few, very small amount of information we can find out. So I would like to think about, we, all of us, to think about how to improve this part of the website. It must be full with information, with all kind of information. What is LS, the contact person, the email, maybe phone, or maybe Viber, etc., etc., etc. It is necessary to prepare a list. Yes, I agree. But to prepare a list and to put all information on the website to be visible.
Okay, so Mikhail, I think, thanks for this point. It's Olivier speaking. I think that there are two points in doing this. The first one is the amount of information that would be publicly available to anyone without a password. And I think that due to privacy laws, there might be some cases where we would not be able to provide the email address in public and all of this. But what we can do is to have it behind a login. In other words, anybody that has a login for the Confluence website, for the wiki, if you want, will be able to go into that. And, of course, all of our at-large structures have logins for this, and, of course, we all have that. So they'd be able to go into this. But if we don't have a login, it will be picked up by search engines, and then we risk breaking the privacy laws of some countries, that I do know that some at-large structures are quite careful about the amount of information that there is about them out there. But I think it's a good project as well. Yeah, Mikhail?
I beg your pardon. I meant that we are to have clear information about ILSs. It's not about persons. And so what about persons? To have a name and email on a website, and all other personal information can be somewhere for our usage. Maybe not for all, but at least the contact person and email must be visible for all.
Okay, that sounds cool. So update and refine the current list of ALSs. And make sure that it's up to date, and perhaps we can add more information. So I see this as a second small chunk of this task force. So the first one is about the survey, building the survey to have the skill sets. The second one, separate project, to update and refine the list of ALSs. So we because I think that the knowledge table that we will build, it's probably just going to be internal to start with among us, so then we can see what we do with it later on. But certainly the list of ALSs and the refining of this list is particularly important. And as you said, part of it can be public, part of it can be private. Wolf Ludwig.
It's Wolf Ludwig for the records. Again, I have 2 points. My first point is a remark on what you, Olivier, said before. pointing to certain sensitivities among our members. And I guess that publishing email addresses would already be one step too far, publishing the name, all right, but telephone numbers and email addresses may be sensitive on a publicly accessible website. In my opinion, this should be in the protected area of our workspace.
Okay, you don't think that there would be any objection to having them even listed in the protected area? Because ultimately, that's just for all of the ALSs.
Yeah, in a protected area, it's a different issue. If you need some kind, if you have a kind of a barrier, or if you need a password to enter to this section, I think under such circumstances, it wouldn't be a problem. My second point is I just want to recall that on the discussion about professional backgrounds and specialization among our members, during the Lisbon General Assembly in June 2013, we defined five thematic priorities where Uralo members have very particular expertise. And I think we could use this as a basis. We do not always have to start from the beginning and ask our members the same questions again and again. Therefore, we should build up on the infos we have already from the members. And I know from the past that launching surveys is not much appreciated. A lot of people complained about too many surveys in the past. Therefore, before we just create another such an initiative where we are asking similar questions we have asked already before, maybe a problem. So let's think twice and find out what we have done already, and then let's concentrate on aspects which are not known so far. Thanks.
Okay, thanks for this, Wolf. It's a good point you're making. And whilst you were saying this, the way I'm seeing it now then is we have a task force on ALS engagement with one sub-point, so we'll have, as Jordi says, let's break the cake in smaller pieces. So one piece of the cake will be to use the information we already have to build the table of interests and competencies on a per-at-large structure basis. So then that will give us a first idea of what the interests and the competencies of our ALSs are. And the second smaller piece of cake would be to update and refine the list of ALSs themselves. And that's all about having more information on our at-large structures. And I guess that small bit of the task force will be able to choose what part will go on the public part of the website and what part will stay on the private part of the website. I think that's a good thing forward. And you mentioned the five thematic priorities, Wolf. Do you think that we should launch a once we've processed that work on the first table of interests and competencies, perhaps then will we be able to see which ones are the most popular? And I mean, do you think that there would be then a chance to launch an initiative, so another task force that would be focusing on this thematic priority, perhaps?
This could be an approach, yes, I think so.
Okay, so I'm just putting it, so future task forces possible. I'm calling it task force as a placeholder. We might wish to call it a working group or whatever. Mikhail, you had your hand up a bit earlier. Did you wish to add something to this?
A little bit, maybe. You see, for example, my organization, my ILS, the foundation, has an email address as a foundation. It is absolutely clear. It's not personal. And the email address is very simple, info@fontpi.ru. So
yeah.
It can be possible to be visible, such kind of addresses at least. But I insist to try to find out the solution, to have contacts with all ILSs visible.
Yeah.
At least one.
Well,
at least the contact address of the organization itself.
Well, if we have a private area, then all of the details can go on there, because ultimately
people with a login will be able.
You'd like to put it in the visible area. Well, I guess the task force are probably going to have to leave this to the individual ATLAS structures, their wish of the ATLAS structures. It might be that some wish to have a public email address that faces out and that is on our website. It might be that others might decide not to do so. That's probably the easiest way. I'm a little concerned about mandating something like this, because it's not actually in the Uralo bylaws that their address should be published. They should have a contact address. I don't think, if I recall, that there is a requirement for their address to be published. So it'll be down to their choice. Mikhail?
And we are to think about our special ILS for individuals, because it's not ordinary situation. It's some special. And it is the problem which is special problem. It is necessary to think about how to mention ILS for individuals. Thank you.
Okay, that's a good point, Mikhail. I hadn't thought about this, actually. Yes, we do have this ALS for individuals that is, I would say, semi-independent. It is run by people who are in charge of it. So what you're suggesting is that we could work more with that ALS for individuals and work towards developing the ALS for individuals. And maybe we should have another task force, which is individuals' involvement in Uralo. I'm just saying this has just come out here. Yeah, if anybody disagrees, please, you know, shout out and give me some feedback on this. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, how many task forces are we creating? At the moment, we've got two. We've got one on ALS engagement and one on ALS for individuals. Or perhaps it's all part of ALS engagement, but with separate pieces of cake, smaller pieces for the different aspects of this. Mikhail again. You have the floor.
Excuse me. I would like to say about working group. I suppose it is necessary to have a working group about adoption of bylaw. It's the main problem, I suppose, as I can imagine. It's about me, but I suppose it's the main problem for the nearest future. We must adopt, we must write down a lot of new things and exclude a lot of non-working things. So it's a big job, and it is necessary to have, by the way, to have rules of procedure. It is mentioned in articles of association, but still not yet. On the floor, so we are to make a new version of a bylaw and to make rules of procedure during this year, and it's a big job. It's necessary to have a special working group for this.
Okay, thanks for this. So we've got a task force on the review and revision of bylaws. That sounds like a good point. I think that there was some pushback, and Wolf was particularly concerned that there isn't that much, or there might not be that much interest for so many people in Uralo to engage in a review and a revision of the bylaws. But since we're now looking at task forces, it would probably be a good thing to have those different threads, if you want, running in parallel and engage with people on the review and revision of bylaws. I see Wolf Ludwig. Wolf, you have the floor.
Wolf Ludwig for the record. Just a little recapitulation of the recent past. This issue of revision of bylaws was brought up over the last 2 years again and again, and we had different appeals on the mailing list to create a working group if people are interested. Revising bylaws is a very touchy issue, and you need first good people who are familiar with bylaw standards and different European bylaw standards. This is a precondition, otherwise you cannot do such a job. So be aware that it's a touchy issue. The other point was that there was some feedback from several members who clearly said that they do not see an urgency on actual need. It is clear that there are a lot of inconsistencies, partly contradictions between how Uralo actually works and what was designed 8 years ago or 9 years ago in the bylaws. But the majority of the members clearly said that they do not see an urgency for the moment, and that Uralo should concentrate on other priorities. So there is nothing against trying to launch such a group again, but such a group should be composed with knowledgeable people, also with people who know the past of Uralo. Because if you do not know the path of Uralo, you cannot understand the bylaws, and you cannot do much about modifications. So you need some decent background knowledge of starting such such a process. So it's perhaps worse to start another trial, but I'm not very optimistic that the feedback from our members would be much different than it was the last 2 years. Thanks.
Thanks very much for this, Wolf. It's Olivier speaking. I see that there's agreement from Irio, who says I tend to agree with Wolf regarding the bylaws. I think from what you've said here, it's kind of becoming a bit clearer in my mind. Perhaps that task force, the first task of this task force would be just to review the current bylaws and map out the differences between the bylaws and how Uralo actually works. That would be, I think, a worthwhile exercise. That task force could then revert back to Uralo as a whole, to all of the ALSs, and show the differences. And I think once we have an actual review of the differences between how the bylaws are currently drafted and how Uralo actually works, we'll have a clearer idea of whether a revision is needed or whether there is no revision needed, or maybe whether even a small revision is needed to a few things which are inconsistent but that have never affected us in any way. But it's just a mapping exercise would be a worthwhile thing, without engaging into saying, well, in any case, we have to revise the bylaws. No, it looks like first a review, see what's wrong, and then we'll be able to, you know, the Uralo board and the members of Uralo will be able to choose whether they want to proceed forward with a revision. And the concern, I echo the concern of Wolf regarding when you start. When you review bylaws, fine. It's stuff that is drafted and you just map and see what is the difference between what's on the paper and what's happening in reality. When you want to draft bylaws and therefore have a revision and modify them, then it becomes more difficult because, as Wolf said, the situation in different European countries might make it unworkable in some countries. So it would take a lot more time and a lot more effort to draft something new. And that's another step we'll have to decide on once we've got a review of what's there so far. How does that sound, Wolf?
Well, Wolf Ludwig for the records again. You may remember, Olivier, that some time ago when I still had my old computer with all my data. I have sent you a copy of our bylaws where I marked in different colors what parts of the existing bylaws are, in my opinion, useless because they do not apply to the realities of Uralo's functioning over the last years or since its existence. So we are all aware that the Uralo bylaws comprising more than 10 pages are too long, are too bulky. They are too much based on very specific German-type bylaw conceptions. Mm-hmm. And the German bylaws are the most horrible you can imagine. And at the end, we worked in a way which was most pragmatic and realistic one. And we didn't consider all paragraphs. We considered the rules of procedures and the basics, so we have to organize one general assembly per year. So this is a bylaw prescription, and this is a need you can find in different bylaw systems in Europe. So we followed the most basic and the most important ones, and all the parts in the Uralo bylaws about financing of Uralo are completely unrealistic. And I suggested in this draft I prepared that it would be the easiest just to drop parts of the bylaws which are simply useless or not realistic. To drop such parts would be probably, I don't know, would be probably the easiest way because it would not mean a lot of modification. It would just mean to get rid of a lot of paragraphs which are not practicable. But if you change existing paragraphs. I remember how difficult it was in spring 2010 when we for the first time amended our bylaws by allowing individual users to get organized at the Uralo level. This was a very small modification giving individuals a better standing at Uralos, and it was very complicated. And at the end, please keep it in mind, for any bylaw modification, you need a two-third majority of the members. So yeah. If you do anything what is not more or less close to consensus, you will never get anywhere. You lose a lot of time. You lose a lot of, you waste a lot of energies for something which will not work out at the end because you will never reach a sufficient majority of two-thirds of the members. And this is a good regulation, in my opinion, that for any bylaw amendments, you need almost a broad agreement or consensus among your members, otherwise you cannot do it. Therefore, it's not as easy as many people thought in the past, that it's just an easy endeavor, sit together for a couple of hours and you can reduce Uralo bylaw. I was involved from the very beginning. I remember in detail how difficult it was, and we spent almost a year on discussing the creation of the bylaws and finally to submit a bylaw version which was adopted at the inauguration of Uralo at the ICANN meeting in spring 2007 in Lisbon. So this is a huge thing, and I just want to underline, don't underestimate it, don't think it's just an easy thing to do.
Okay, thanks for this, Wolf. It's Olivier speaking. And as you were speaking, I actually looked at my archives of the Uralo mailing list discussions, and I did see details. I just have one message from Sébastien Bachelet in 2010 that looks at the comments of for some bylaw modifications. And then, looking here in 2010, I note later on a review of the suggested bylaw modifications when Matthias was still around in January 2011, and then finally a vote on the bylaw modifications, and there were only three small modifications that was on the 17th of June 2011. So we're talking about 8 months of discussions that happened in between. That certainly seems to work with the points you've made about the complexity of drafting bylaws. But I think it cannot hurt to do a review of the bylaws, as in what is there today and what's on paper and what happens in reality. I haven't found your email that you have sent on the Uralo I have found one email that you've sent in June, 21st of June 2013. Okay, that's a while ago. But
Olivier,
starting
I
with just a review, and then I guess the board will have to, and we will have to decide afterwards on whether we want to make modifications or not, bearing in mind what you've just mentioned there.
I think I sent this email last year. I think it was in summer 2015, but I can trace it in my mailbox, and I can resend it.
Okay, that's great, thank you. All right, Mikhail Metrish, you have the floor. Sorry for the delay.
No problem. I've been listening. It's very interesting. You see, I've tried to... I'm very new in Uralo. I've tried to understand the situation with bylaw and read all transcripts from the 2007 concerning bylaw and discussions. I understand the situation, as I can imagine. But I would like to ask, I have sent 4 days ago an email, some examples of contradictions between bylaw and real life. Is it on your tables or not? My email from 14th of January.
I don't think it's in the... let me just check if it's in the table.
Olivier, I sent it to you and to your board, mailing list, on 14th of January. I've tried to give an examples of a contradiction.
Correct, yeah. You have sent the examples. It is on the table.
It
is on there.
A lot of contradictions.
The 14th of January,
yes.
Well, task, you know, is to list the contradictions and highlight them.
Yes. I would like to mention that, yes, I understand that it's not a very simple task to review bylaw, but so many contradictions and, from my point of view, absolute nonsenses in our today's bylaw. For example, existing of treasurer, another example, we were elected the chair of the Uralo. Olivier, it's you, but no such person in our bylaw exists. We have chair of the board.
I don't want at this stage to start. Mikhail, I don't want to start at this stage digging into the details of all the problems with the bylaws and so on. I think that
no,
this is worthwhile discussions.
No details, no other details. But I would like to say that we, I suppose, all of us, understand that by law is not a good in a good stage for today. It's a lot of contradictions between by law as a Switzerland company, non-commercial articles of association is from Switzerland laws. So and real life is absolutely different. And if we look at the bylaw, not main documents of other ALOs, we will not find out bylaws. We will find out principles, some rules of procedure, etc., etc. So in any case, it is our job, I mean board and main officers, to think about it, to prepare some materials, and to give all others, ILSs and persons from them, to look at this, our proposals, I mean. So it is not about the total discussion. It's about working group to prepare proposals, to inform about the proposals, and to collect output. So working group is necessary to organize and in some short period of time prepare some not new document, but ideas what to do. And then second step, etc., etc., step by step.
Okay, excellent. That's understood, Mikhail. Thank you. I'm concerned of the time. I was going to open the floor. The two task forces which I saw here as being good to start up, I was going to ask whether anybody thought anything else should be started in parallel. Should we have another task force focusing on something else? And then I wanted to move on over to the Uralo special budget requests as well. So the floor is open for other suggestions. Mikhail, is that a new hand?
He's typing.
Ah, he's typing, okay. And Jordi has lost sound. And what I was going to do then, in the meantime, whilst I keep the floor open for any other suggestions here, was to ask, say on tomorrow's Uralo call, I guess we will be able to present the two suggestions for the two task forces and start this up. I gather that Mikhail would like to probably lead on the review of the bylaws. I'm sure other board members would be interested. I certainly will want to be on this. I think that Wolf, as the institutional memory of this organization, will obviously want to be on this too. But there's, really an emphasis here that this is a step-by-step process, and first establishing a snapshot of where we are is probably the task of that task force on the bylaws. And it's something that we shouldn't think is just a five-minute job that we'll be able to do in a couple of days. It's obviously going to be a long run. But I'd like to get the ball rolling on this, because I have seen this issue of bylaws comes back often in the discussion. And it's good sometimes to just clean these things up a little bit. Okay, I can see the disagreement of whether it's Swiss or German. In any case, it's Germanic, perhaps we could say.
It's not Olivier. Sorry.
It's not Germanic?
Swiss bylaw standards are known to be the simplest and the softest close to Belgian bylaw standards. We have a lot of experience in the past because Eurodic, when the Eurodic Support Association was created in 2012, it was designed according to very soft and smooth and liberal Swiss bylaw standards, which give you a lot of opportunities, give you the possibility to reduce it to the essentials. So Swiss standards and German standards are completely different, and I tried again and again to make this understood.
Okay, thanks for this, Wolf. Let's please move on then to, I think we've pretty much covered 3 and 4, definition of priorities and plan for action for 2016. Well, we've already got two huge tasks in front of us, the ALS engagement and this bylaw discussion. Let's move on to the Uralo special budget requests for fiscal year 17. We've got... Oh, am I still here? Am I still online?
Yeah, we can still hear you.
Okay, someone else has dropped off. Okay, but I had dropped off. It was giving the signal. And let's move on over then. Your rather special budget request for fiscal year 17. If we could change the... there's a link in your agenda which goes over to the at-large FY17 budget development workspace. And I was going to ask Wolf, that last year, what did Uralo file for? And, in fact, it's probably easy. There's a link next to it that looks at last year's one. And last year we had a proposal for Uralo General Assembly at ICANN 54. That was the only request that Uralo filed. And we managed to have that General Assembly taking place at ICANN 54. Next year, or the year that we have now, this fiscal year, there's not going to be any meeting taking place in Europe. So I think it will be probably quite hard to, if you want to push on having this... another General Assembly taking place if we don't have an ICANN meeting taking place in Europe. But there might be other projects that we might wish to ask for. And so I open the floor for suggestions. Wolf Ludwig.
It's Wolf Ludwig for the record. Actually, we had... two requests last year. One was in the official budget context asking for the face-to-face General Assembly in Dublin, what you mentioned already, and then in the crop context. We had another submission, we had another request asking for travel support for 5 travelers to join Eurodic in Sofia.
That was a crop request.
It was a crop. The second one was a crop request, and we have, to my knowledge, we have the same possibility this year for crop, and I would still suggest to continue with a sort of best practice, what we did over the last years, to allow 5 people to join Eurodic in June in Brussels. Regarding the official budget requests, I agree it makes no sense to ask for face-to-face General Assembly, because there won't be, to my knowledge, any meeting in Europe this year. And I think after we have had 3 subsequent face-to-face meetings supported by ICANN, 2013 in Lisbon, 2014 in London, and 2015 in Dublin, we won't have any chance for any demand, for any request to get next face-to-face General Assembly funded now.
Yeah, thanks for this, Wolf. It's Olivia speaking. In fact,
I will, I'm going to put a thingy on the, so rotation of GAs. The Finance and Budget Subcommittee has been working on a sheet that I've put the link into the Adobe Connect that has the rotation of General Assemblies in there. And in fact, there will be actually an ICANN meeting in Europe in March 2017, which is part of fiscal year 17. The only thing, though, is that since we've already had a General Assembly in fiscal year 16, and we're looking at having a rotation of General Assemblies next year, or the fiscal year 17 would be a General Assembly for Naralo and a General Assembly for Afralo, which of course stops us from having a General Assembly. It's physically impossible to do three General Assemblies in a year because of all the preparation required primarily by staff, and having to do things in parallel is pretty much quite impossible when you've got some meetings that are very close together, like the March and the June meeting being only separated by a few, less than a handful of months. So, we can't go for ask for a General Assembly next year, but are there any other suggestions? And as far as the crop is concerned, Wolf, that will be, I think, a separate discussion that we will need to have, and to also receive the feedback on what the successes were and so on with the people that we have managed to send to Eurodig. But that's certainly, without any doubt, a separate discussion that we can have on that. And for those of you that are concerned, it is 1 o'clock, so it's 1200 UTC at the moment. We've got an extra 10 minutes, if that's okay with you all, to finish off this discussion. We have a couple of more things to discuss immediately after this. So do you have anybody else has a suggestion for something we might wish to apply for as far as special budget requests are concerned? I know I'm putting you on the spot right now. We do have a Euralo call tomorrow, and we will have one section of the call that will deal with this. So if you can think about something, it would be great. You know, you come back to us either on the mailing list, Euralo mailing list, or tomorrow during the call that we will have, the Euralo monthly call. Okay, so that's one. This process, by the way, we are in a little bit of a hurry now because I think that we have until, is it the 22nd or 27th that we have to file the first, to file a request? Sylvia, what's the timetable on those filings?
Hello, Olivia. Let me check. Sorry.
Okay, so, thanks. In the meantime, let's move on to any other business. And we've got a couple of things to decide on. First, when do we find that this board discussions, Euralo board discussions, are helpful? And if that's the case, how often do we want to meet? Do we want to have a call every, I don't know, I'm not going to say every week, I think that's too much, but should we have two calls a month, perhaps? Or one call a month? Mikhail Medrish.
I suppose two call a month is good, but first of all, I think that we are to adopt plan of actions. And due to this plan, we will discuss the results or no results of actions. Twice a month is good enough.
Okay.
Having plan of actions. So I would like to mention that we were... the point four, definitions or priorities and plan of action for 2016. So I would like to have a plan in the nearest future, maybe next week, maybe 2 weeks later, but to discuss and to adopt a plan, and then we will be free to call, to have a conference call twice a month, I suppose.
Okay, thanks for this, Mikhail. So what I was going to suggest was as follows. Tomorrow, we will be able to report on the discussion we had today and on the two proposals, the creation of the two task forces and the small chunks of cake for the task force that deals with at-large structure engagement. We will also be proposing, I mean, we don't have a plan of action as such, but I think that what we will be looking for tomorrow is some feedback from at-large structures and the members that are present there. We will also, of course, be sending the proposal over for these two task forces to the mailing list, collecting some feedback, and then 2 weeks, I would say, we can then have our next call, and there we can then decide what our plan of action is based on the feedback that we've received from our ALSs. We have to remember this is bottom-up, and I'm a little concerned about the board, your ALO board, making decisions like this and saying, well, now we're going to have these two task forces, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, and then imposing it on our at-large structures who might not want any of this stuff. But I think that they do want, you know, because we're well integrated in our community to know what they wish to have. But we do have to ask and get the feedback. And maybe at the moment we'll just have a doodle for, you know, in 2 weeks' time, and then we can decide after that if it's helpful to have a call every, you know, twice a month, maybe at a set time, maybe just the day before the Uralo call so we can prepare for the Uralo call or something. So that, I think that was the next thing. I've noticed in the chat that Sylvia has put the deadline for special budget request is the 22nd of January 2016, so it's only a few days away. I was going to propose that we ask our ALSs tomorrow on the call if they have any suggestions for extra budget requests. And in the meantime, as I mentioned to you all, if you can think of something until tomorrow, please feel free. Yeah, so we have until the end of the week to file something, and it's just usually just a page to file a budget request. Obviously, it needs to be researched properly and put into the special format, but that's, you know, having a few days for this, it's okay. That can be done. So these were the two, I think the two things moving forward. Are there any other comments on anything else that we need to touch on? We've got another 3 minutes until we're 10 minutes past the hour. Mathieu, Jordi, any thoughts on Sandra, Irio? Gisela, you have your hand up, please. You have the floor.
Sorry, I'm still on the call. I'm still on mute.
I was wondering if I was still on the call. It was so quiet. Go ahead, Gisela.
Sorry, yes. Could we just touch on the Marrakesh schedule and whether you wish to hold a ALO meeting there? Because I need to know.
Oh, yes. Thank you for reminding me this question, Gisela. That's a very good point. Yes.
Yes.
It's Olivia speaking.
For me?
Yes. Yes, go ahead.
Sorry. Just Gisela again. Just to add to that, why I'm stressing this point here is, if you see real value in having a face-to-face meeting in Marrakesh, I'm just trying to emphasize again that we are going to be extremely pressed for time and we don't have the accountability schedule out yet. So I will do my best to schedule a call, a meeting if you do wish to have one. But the main point here was whether there was real value in having it. Thank you.
Thank you for this, Gisela. Any thoughts on this? Should we go for a meeting, face-to-face meeting? Wolf Ludwig.
It's Wolf Ludwig for the records. Well, it was always a similar question in the past. I personally think under the dense meeting and timing situation during an ICANN meeting, it doesn't make a lot of sense to have this kind of formal meetings, and when we invited in the past members then to join online, there was not a lot of response. I would therefore suggest let's try to organize this, those people from Uralo who will be present in Marrakesh to organize a sort of an informal meeting there.
Okay, thanks for this, Wolf. It's Olivia speaking. I must agree with you. I think having a formal meeting of Uralo, because we don't know how many members will be there, and we might just have a handful of members there, I don't think it's going to be 20 people in such a meeting. We have five people that are going to be there, because bearing in mind it's only the people that are funded or have other means of funding through their organization, then we'll be able to put something, an informal discussion on things. But at the moment, I don't see the worth of taking a slot and taking staff time for three of us to sit around a table, or four of us to or five perhaps to sit around the table. So thanks for this. Let's unless anybody else objects and really thinks we need to meet face-to-face in Marrakesh, I'd say that we don't need a slot. And that will probably be helpful with regards to the schedule as well. Okay, so yeah, Mathieu says he'd prefer a face-to-face meeting, but he will not be in Marrakesh. So I suspect that will be the problem with many people. So, okay, so that's one more thing. And I think that's, if we want an informal meeting, staff could always arrange a room or something at short notice. So we can decide once we're there and to see who is there. And if we have a lot of people interested, we can do a quick meeting, a face-to-face meeting like this. Okay, any other business? And Mikhail will not be in Marrakesh too, yeah. So, that, you know, at the end of the day, many of us will not be there. It's probably better to have a conference call the week before or the week after or a couple of weeks after and look back on Marrakesh remotely. Okay, well, thanks, everyone. I don't see anyone having put their hand up apart from Gisela, who still has her hand up. Is there anything else that I've missed, Gisela?
Sorry, Olivia, no, my hand's going down.
Okay, thank you. With this, I'm apologizing again for my lack of preparation, but I'm covered with dust here, having had part of the ceiling collapse. Don't worry, it's no big deal. It's just a ceiling. It's down now, so that's fine. I'd like to thank you for being on this call, and I look forward to seeing you all tomorrow on the Uralo call and following up with what we've been discussing here. And Wolf and I will be working together to build the, you might have seen the Uralo call agenda is not up yet, but we'll be working on this shortly. And as I said, the two points in the Uralo meeting tomorrow will be about the what we've discussed today and also about the Uralo budget, special budget requests. And with this, I'd like to thank you all and speak to you soon. Have a great day. This call is adjourned.
Thank you. Thanks.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. The meeting has been adjourned and the audio will now be disconnected. Thank you for joining today's call.